And after that praise and worship, I had to change my whole message. So just scrap your bulletin. Oh, my. Sodomate, where are you? What a beautiful testimony. Oh, we get to travel to church after church. Almost every weekend, Steve and I get to go to a new church. So we're not a member really at any. But we don't hear testimonies like that. And that is awesome. And wouldn't you think that's going on all over the state, all over the city, all over the county, all over the world? You are living on the edge of the miraculous, and I want to thank you. There are people who have gone before us. And Hebrews chapter 12 talks about it. Because we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that encumbers, all the things that are holding us back. And Sodome, you are almost one of those great cloud of witnesses that are surrounding us. But God said, no, not yet. Not yet. I want you to wait a while. I want your testimony to be powerful right now because we are living on the edge of the miraculous. And medically speaking, what did the doctor say? We're not exactly sure, but you're just cancer free. Well, I'm exactly sure. Anybody else here exactly sure? It was a coincidence. It was a coincidence. No, it was a miracle. And man, that I love that. Thank you. And then, of course, the songs. He calls us friends. And I had to say, wow, God, where do you show us that? In John. And don't worry, I'm getting someplace with this. John 15:13. No greater love than this than our friend lay down his life for us. And then verse 14 is very interesting. He says, look, I demonstrated that I'm your friend. Now this is how you can show me that you're mine. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command. And which is interesting, if you look in your Bibles, chapter 15, verse 14 is the same as chapter 14, verse 15. Was it a typo? No. I think Jesus wanted to reiterate that. Chapter 14 says the same thing. If you love me, you will do what I command. Well, guess what Sodome was commanded to do? Give testimony of how great her God was. And that's exactly what God wants to do in our lives. Last week was the things that we can't change. We can't change because we don't want to change them. Things like God loves us so much, and there's great forgiveness. We can trust him. This week are the things that must change. And we're going to explore what God's word says about this. But first, I want to introduce some very special people. I have my grandmother here, my wife's grandma, now mine, and my aunt, my wife's aunt, now mine, and perhaps most importantly to me, my mother-in-law. So here they are. Now you know how security is in the airport now, right? I'm traveling in the airport, and they say, what do they tell you? Has anybody given you something that you didn't pack, something like that? And of course, you always say no. Who's going to give you? Who does that? And you're not going to admit it if they did. But I remembered my mother-in-law had given me something to give to my wife. So I said, no, yes. My mother-in-law gave me something. I don't know what it is. With an alarm clock on top. They said, they called the security over, right? And they said, well, what? Oh, yeah, my mother-in-law. And they looked me straight in the face and said, does she like you? I thought for a moment. Yeah, she does. And they said, go through. Yes. Everything was good. She loves me. We have a strange relationship, don't we? How about a mother-in-law loving her son-in-law? I mean, anyway, we got it. We do live about 2,000 miles away, though, so maybe that helps. No. I am so glad to have my mother-in-law with me today. First time she's ever heard me preach, probably the last now. She's visiting, so she couldn't go any other church. Well, that's not one of the things that must change. That is great. Well, last week I mentioned that God got me when I was, I was knee-deep in sin. I was tasting everything the world had in store because I just didn't really trust that I was a friend of God. You know, I am a friend of God. That was nice on Sundays. But the rest of the week, I got to find some other friends too. And I got to find some other pleasures. I mean, you know, hey, look, young guy in college, it's just. And then, of course, I found myself at the bottom, arrested, kicked out of law school. Like I told you, it was like a country western song. I just didn't have a truck and a dog. Pickup truck. And you know, you remember me telling you I was working for the sheriff of Broward County back then, Nick Navarro. And did I mention he consulted the guy from Scarface, Al Pacino, to teach him how to act because he had been around so many drug guys. I mean, that's a dubious honor. I mean, somebody's got to get it, I guess. But that was Nick Navarro. I worked for that gentleman back in the 80s. Well, you know, when you do something wrong, don't you want to just forget about it? Don't you want to just say, that was a bad chapter. I never want to go back there again. And if I could move, the better. And if I never see that guy, that employee, that gal, that whoever, that company again, that'll be too soon. Well, a few weeks ago, it's how great. God has a great sense of humor, doesn't he? A few weeks ago, I was sitting with Billy Graham's grandson. And, of course, he's talking about his grandmother and how, you know, Ruth Bell Graham, you know, she's like this incredible godly woman. Well, my grandma on my side, she was like a chain smoker. So I really rarely talk about her, you know. And so he's talking the whole time. I'm going, yeah, yeah, okay. He says, well, Kevin, tell me about Nick Navarro. You know, have you ever run into him again? I said, no, I really haven't run into him again. Thank you, Lord. But I'm sure he's read about me and everything's cool now, you know. He said, well, wouldn't it be cool? And this guy's a dreamer. Wouldn't it be cool if you went to Nick Navarro, like with a camera crew, and said, hey, how you doing? I'm Kevin Cross. I said, no, that's not cool. That sounds cool on paper, but hey, that's not cool. You do it. You tell him you're me. Well, he planted the seed. And so I walked away from there, and I thought, thank you for the stories about your grandmother. I'm out of here. Then he calls me. Well, he called me twice in 1 year. You know what I mean? One time it was a crank call. And the next time he said, look, I got an idea for you, Kevin. I have Nick Navarro's number. Do you want to call him? No. Do you remember what I did to him? I stole money from him. It was in the newspapers. He didn't get reelected. It was bad. I don't think that's a good idea. I don't care if it's been over 20 years. The 20th anniversary. We don't have to have the 20th anniversary gold letter edition on this one, okay? We don't have to republish it. He said, well, here's the number just in case. Then God started talking to me. You know how he starts to talk to you? In quiet. And you can't hear any voices, but you're going, maybe God does want me to talk to him. All right. God, are you sure? It was almost a Jonah experience. I was driving this way, north on I-95. He wanted me to go south. So, well, you know, let me make a long story short. We got there, and this is what happened. We actually have it on film now.
Look how good God is.
He didn't betray me. I don't have the ability to forgive him. It's the Lord. He is the one who has forgiven him, and that's all he needs. Not mine. My forgiveness doesn't mean anything. The Lord forgave you. He put you in the right path, and you're following it, and you are blessed.
I appreciate you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Take care, Kevin.
Thank you, sir.
Keep on doing a good work.
Anytime you want to come out to an event, you come out.
Okay.
I will have front row seats for you. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless you too, my friend.
Look, there he is with the Margin Mini armband. That's the same one you got last week. So we all have something in common. Nick Navarro and us, we all wear the same armband now. Well, you know, I was a little reluctant because, you know, when things go wrong in our lives, we want to just pretend they never happened. But God wants to use those events to bring glory to him. So that was the failure of my life that now I tell every weekend. It's like, what? God, you do have a sense of humor because everybody can relate with doing their own thing. And we all know what it feels like to have the pain. And these are the things that must change today. You see, today, there are some things that are some practical steps that we need to do in our financial lives, or we're not going to have the peace that God wants us to have. You remember our verse to know last week was Romans 15:13. May the God of hope, the God of hope, not a God of hope, because I thought God was a God of hope, and I had several. You know, pleasures of the world, money, things that money could buy, but then I realized there was only one God of hope, and that was Jesus Christ. And it's the same Jesus Christ that died for us, that we are living for, and we have a choice to live for tomorrow. Well, these are the things that must change in our lives, in our financial lives. First, we need to say, God, I want to do it your way in the area of money. And money, and I mentioned 2,350 verses in God's Word to talk about money. That's a lot. I tell you, we're going to memorize them, right? Would you start reading them? And one-third of all of Jesus' words, if you have a red-letter edition Bible, talk about money. He spoke more about money than any other subject except the kingdom of God, which makes it very interesting. We need to spend some time there, and that's what we're going to do today. That's what we've done now for the last weekend. We're going to conclude next weekend. Well, how do we avoid debt? The first step is avoiding debt. Well, some of us, you know, we're running on fumes. It looks like our gas gauge in our car, but sometimes if we take a look at our heart, we have a similar type of gas gauge in the pesometer for finances. And this is usually the why and the how it gets on empty. First, we go to the Aventura Mall. Have you noticed they've done several multi-million dollars of renovations there? Nordstrom's is there. I don't even know what Nordstrom's is. I'm sure the girls do. The guys, do you know what Nordstrom's? It sounds like Scandinavian. I don't know, but it's big. And inside the regular part of the mall, they have this new Fresco. You know, I didn't know what Fresco was. I thought it was a soft drink. But Fresco, they paint the ceilings. And on the ceiling of the Aventura Mall, they have this incredible marquee that says, admire, desire, require, and then acquire. I mean, it's blatant, isn't it? It's like you walk through there and you go, what? And what do I admire? Oh, that's a nice blouse. Or those nice pair of shoes. And then I go, oh, I'd really like those. I like them. And then you know what? I need those for work. I require those for work. And today, if you buy them today and you fill out a credit card, we'll give you 10% off. Have you ever seen that at the mall? Now, that's classic. Now, here's the thing. You want to be a good financial manager, right? Good financial steward. So you're not going to buy a $20 item and get 10% off. No, you're going to go in there and go, okay, I better spend some bread. I better spend some money because I need 10% off and I need to make sure it's a large amount. I want to be a good steward with God's money. So I'll buy $200 worth of items so I can get $20 off. $20 off is better than $2 off. And so we've acquired, and guess what happens on Monday? It's amazing. Macy's, you can fill out a credit card application on Sunday, and on Monday, you'll get the bill. I guarantee. I mean, they got elves working at night. They got the hamsters. I don't know. And so in the morning, oh, what's this from Macy's? My bill already? But because you have such good credit, what did they tell you? Skip a payment. Don't worry. The low interest of 39.99%. It's low interest. And because of your good credit, you can skip a payment. And then they call me Mr. Cross. I think, that's better. Thank you. And I get the surprise expense. And then all of a sudden, I'm thinking, well, you know, I don't want to pay the interest, but I got to make a minimum payment. I check my savings account. And guess what I got in there? This. And I go, oh, goodness, what am I going to do now? And I get the pressure. And, you know, what do we do? I mean, honestly, what do we do? When the going gets tough, the tough get going, they get going to the mall. No, when we get pressure on us, we work more hours, right? I mean, if we're in healthcare, what do? Give me an extra shift. Right? Let me do the night shift. Let me do the 24-hour shift. You know? Let me do the 48-hour shift. I don't know. It's bad. Whatever we got to do. I'm in sales. I need one more sale. I want one more sale. I'm in life insurance. I need one more life insurance policy. You know? Whatever it is, I don't have a prep. But this is what happens then. And see if this sounds familiar. We don't have the time to do what we want to do. You know what you want to do. You want to spend time with your family. Maybe you just want to get a little extra sleep. You want to get more than 5 hours of sleep? We have any moms that want to get more than 5 hours sleep? How about dads too? Wouldn't that be a luxury to have 8 hours? I mean, hey, you're not asking for much. I mean, 8 hours sleep. And then you don't have the time. And what happens then? Well, we call it stressed out. It's a Christian word. Hey, anybody stressed out? Yeah, amen. We're stressed out. But we ever say depressed? Ooh, that's clinical. You need like medicine for that. You're not allowed to say that in church, but that's what it is. But you see, don't worry. We can always go back and anesthetize our heart. Ooh, you make it sound so drug-like. Well, when we go through this cycle and our joy and our peace is on empty because we keep going through this, that's exactly what we can expect. And God says, you don't have to live that way. You don't have to live like, well, here's the stats. I love this. It says consumers spend a life behind bars. In 1985, here's the stat, we were $3,500 per family in debt. Now, lo and behold, we're at $14,000 as an average per family. Andy Stanley says, I don't believe people are greedy. I believe they just don't have the money. We're spending it. This is the most affluent country perhaps in the whole world. We only represent 12% of the population, 80% we consume here. You know, half the world lives on less than $2 a day. And $2 a day is not even going to get us a Starbucks. I mean, you got to get regular coffee at Starbucks for $2. It's not worth going. You can do that at home. We got to get the latte hoochie blend, right? And that's like $5. Okay, let's bring it back to under 40, shall we? College students today. Do you know college students have average debt of $3,200? This is amazing. At least more than three quarters have at least one credit card. One third have at least three credit cards. One third of college students. Now, let me bring you back to the 80s when I was in school. They wouldn't give me a credit card. You know why? Because I would use it. I didn't have any money. Although I have to be honest with you, Gary, I did have a credit card back in college. It was my mother's card. She's not here today. She can't hear this. But she could be listening via the podcast, via the internet. Mom, she gave me a credit card, and I used it. And you know what? My dad came up to me about a month later and said, son, what? How did you find out? I didn't realize you got like a bill in the mail. I was so naive. I said, how'd you know? You spent 27. How did you tell? God did. Surely your sins will find you out. You know that verse? Uh-huh. I proved that. Well, now, do you realize this? The first week a college student goes to college, in addition to picking up their books, you know, their $250 book pamphlet, you know, a $50, you know, bag, they stick in the bag 8 credit card applications. The average student receives 8 credit card applications their first week of school. Now, if I was a student back then, you know what I would do before my homework? I'd fill out my mandatory homework. 8 credit card applications. I got to secure my future. Can you imagine? 8 credit card applications or doing my science homework or write a paper on how my summer. Now, I'm doing the credit cards because I could have already won. And so you see what's happening. And this is what the president of the then MBNA said. If we can have a college student with an $800 balance, we will have him for life. Nice Christian man. He's a deacon here. No. I'm sure he's on his yacht on Sundays. And here's another thing. The interest rate for college students is higher than the interest rate for us. You know why? Well, because they don't care what the interest rate is. They're more concerned about the card. And so the higher the interest rate, the least likely they are to pay it off. There's some things that must change. Well, as a result of this rampant debt, and even college students, starting them out and having them for life, what we're seeing is this incredible amount of bankruptcies. Now, a couple years ago, the government said, no, we don't want a lot of bankruptcies, so we're going to make it very difficult for people to go bankrupt. You got to, like, lose everything, practically your job. Well, the last couple of years, yeah, it went down in 2006 to only 351,000, but this last year it went up 40%. People are saying, I don't care what it takes. I'm in that tough a shape. I'll lose my job. I'll go to career counseling. I'll do whatever it takes. It's dramatic. And as a result, this is what we're saying here in Broward County. Broward County is the number 2 county in all of the state of Florida for foreclosures. Guess what number 1 is? Orlando. Orlando, whatever that county is. Citrus County? What is that called? Orange County? Orange. I knew it was something to do with some citrus fruit. Right? Uh-huh. Orange, grapefruit. It's up there. Okay, so we're number 2. The number 2 state in the United States of America is Florida. in foreclosures. We hit 1.5 million foreclosures in 2007. We could go all the way this year. We could go 2 million. We're there. We're almost there. We're doing so well. The first almost 3 months of the year, we're just like, the numbers are way up. Can you imagine that dubious honor? You know, some Chinese-speaking CNN will be saying, America's number one, you know, and that's amazing. We'll go, yeah, go. No, that's not the honor we want. And there's a financial disconnect. And this is what we're seeing. God's providing. God says, look, I'm going to take care of all your needs. It's all Philippians 4. I love Philippians 4. You know, we use Philippians 4:13, right? I can do all things through him who gives me strength, right? Don't we say that during tough times? Oh, Lord, I got to work a double shift. Oh, I can do all things. You know, and we love that. Paul's talking. This is a financial sermon. It's smack dab in a financial sermon. Because in chapter 10, Paul says this. I know what it means to be content. I can live with less. I can live with more. I've learned the secret of being content. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Is that hard to see? I'm sorry. I'll just tell you what's up there. And then he says in verse 17, which is amazing, he says this, not that I'm looking for a gift, I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. Then verse 19, my God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches. His riches, his great riches. Now, God provides. There's no question about that. But guess what we do with it? We're like a bank. We get it and we say, God, now what do you want me to spend it on? And it's never enough. Have you noticed that we have a little more desires than money? Don't we? I have more on my wish list than I have in the bank account. And so what do? We go ahead and like what people I understand doing in Brazil, they're financing appliances over 10 years. Now, that's not a good idea. You imagine financing a toaster oven from China, right? They don't make them like they used to. And it's going to last you a year and a half, and you finance that over 10 years. But if you have a job in Brazil, you can get credit. So it's not even tough as getting credit here. What do? We overspend. We are in financial bondage. It says we are in financial bondage. As a result of being in financial bondage, a need arises. Say a need in your family. Say a need that you're very sensitive to. You know, what about a single mom's ministry? Or maybe a homeless ministry? Or maybe missions? When I heard about how much you gave to missions last year, I was embarrassed for the other churches. I really was. Because the percentage of giving here to missions that you do, I don't want to tell you. That's about the same as some mega churches. And you're a very humble congregation. Can you imagine you rival a congregation of 1,000 people? That's how much they give to missions? I applaud you. But can you imagine getting to a point where you say, we have a great need overseas. We have a great need here, but we don't have the money. And this is the way most people are living. Then there's not enough resources for this ministry, for that need. And what happens then? The ministry, who is run by people like you and me, have to make a decision. Do we meet the needs? Do we trust God to meet the needs, or do we lean on our own understanding? And you know what we understand? We understand finance pretty well in this country. And we go ahead and finance things, don't we? We know finance so well, we finance anytime we need to. And so the church or the ministry goes into debt. And what happens when churches and ministries go into debt? They go into financial bondage just like the people. And so now we're running on fumes in ministries, and we're going, why are all these ministries kind of struggling? Why am I getting year-end letters that say, help, help, and we're not making it? Well, because God's providing to us, we're not sending it to the right places. And there's things that must change. Now, you might say, wow, is that what's going on out there? That is exactly. We came off of the Margin of Meaning tour. Yesterday, Steve and I were in town, and it was so fun. We were at a church locally, and it's amazing what type of disconnect between this church and the church where I'm not going to mention the name, because they don't understand what you understand. And as a result, we got some footage from people who say, I get it. The light went off. I can't live this way any longer. I'm willing to make a stand. I'm willing to surrender my life, my heart to the Lord in the area of finance. I thought he owned 10%. Really, he owns my whole life. 1 Corinthians 4:2, we're bought with a price. Now, worship God with your body. Honor him with your whole life. Well, let's see if we got some footage. We got any footage back there? The trap first. The trap. This is what they realized. All right, I'm with you. This is what they realized. They said, look, God has given some people great abilities to buy right. There's probably some women out there are good bargain hunters. Anybody willing to admit that? Yeah. I don't know, Kevin. God, I believe, has given you an incredible blessing. My wife, she comes from great genes. They can sniff out a bargain. Wherever they're at, there's a bargain in the other room. Go, ladies, go. And they, sure enough, there's ladies in the other room getting bargains. What is it about men? We go, so? They love that. Now, this is how diabolical, how deceitful Satan is. He'll let you get the bargain. He'll say, go ahead and put it on a credit card. I went to Marshall's, bought a $20 blouse that was $200 at Macy's. Has that ever happened to you? And don't you come home and show your husband, look at this, and he goes, yeah, nice. $20. I could have bought like a couple of coffees. Man. No, and then what if we put them on a credit card and we go ahead and say, okay, I'll make the minimum payments. It'll take us 9 years to pay that blouse off. Now, ladies, do you love blouses that are 9 years old? I mean, let's just face it. Do you have things in your closet that are 9 years old? Yes, but you don't wear them quite as often as the things that are new. I know that for certain. Now instead of spending $20 on that blouse, now we're going to end up spending $42. Now, you can't tell your sisters and your sister-in-law and your mother, look, I spent $42 on this blouse, because they might tell you, take it back. Wait for it to go on sale. You see, and look how diabolical he is. What if you put it on a higher interest card? Now we're at 23% by making minimum payments, and we'll have that blouse for 14 years. Now, that is not one of your favorite blouses, I'll tell you that. If it is, it's got holes in it by now, as you wear it so often. And now we spent more than triple for that blouse. Now it's almost the price of what we would have paid at Macy's. Now, what if we did this? Here's a practical step. I asked my wife, you think I should say a practical step too? She said, yeah, do a practical step. If we double the payment, in our minds, we think the payment should be cut in half, right? You make a double payment. Instead of it going 9 years, it should be like 4.5 years. Now, the magic of compounding, this compound interest that the credit card companies know about so well, they go, wait a second. No. Look, you're going to pay it off in 2.7 years. And look, even at a higher interest rate, instead of it being 14 years, you're going to pay it off in 3 years by just doubling the payment. You don't have to triple the payment to get that type of return. Well, all of a sudden, people go, I'm not going to pay somebody 20%, 23%. I'm not going to do it any longer because it's hard for me to earn that kind of money. Why should I be willing to pay someone that? So all of a sudden at our events, our margin meeting events, they're kind of radical. People go, I don't want to live this way any longer. I'm not going to use my credit card any longer. And here's the statistic. If you use a credit card or a debit card, statistically, you will spend 40% more than if you pay cash. Now, everybody over 50 go, yes, so. Everybody knows that. No, us under 50, we don't know that. You told us that, but it went like this. It went through one ear and went out the other. You've been telling us this for a long time. But now we finally see it. And here's another stat. If you go to fast food restaurants, you know, we try not to, right? But sometimes, you know, the kids, they love it. That's my excuse. If the average cash sale at a fast food restaurant is $3.50. Well, you know, cash, you got to order off the dollar menu. But the average credit card sale or debit card sale is $7.50, more than double. Why? Well, now I don't have to order off the dollar menu. Swipe the card. Give me the number 3. Give me that. Give me the apple pies and whatever else. Okay, I'll swipe it. You see what we do? And you might say, no, I only use a debit card. It doesn't matter. It gives us freedom that we don't want to take. You see, does God say it's against the law to spend $7.50 at a fast food restaurant? No. No, he gives us this freedom, but he says, look, I don't want you to live in this bondage. I want you to be the head, not the tail. That's what he told the Israelites. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall borrow from none. Deuteronomy 15. Romans 13:8. It's an amazing thing. It's Zorro. Good against evil. Let no debt remain outstanding except one. Student loan debt. Okay? Okay, look it up. It's New Living Translation. It's the Message. No. Let no debt remain outstanding except one. The debt to love one another. You know what? God wrote the first romance novel. He really did. We think that his words are to take our freedom away, man. But you know what? On a Saturday morning, he wants us to wake up and to be able to turn to our wives and say, sweetheart, today I'm going to pay the debt to love you. Oh, women, you imagine hearing that? You got to say, I got to call my sister. You're my husband. He's such a Christian man. You got to get your husband. You see, he wrote the first romance novel. It's not to take our joy away. It's to give us more joy. Okay, all right, show the video. I see. Okay, here we go. Oh, yeah, but if you have children, feel the right. This is actual footage of destruction of credit cards. We even have Rachel Ray cooking programs here. That was real garlic in that pan. These are shrinky dinks. These people high-fiving, saying, I want to cut up my credit card. Oh, that's tasty. Target. Tasty. The Freedom Dance! I love the Freedom Dance. Yes. Yes, tons of credit cards were injured in this video for the sake of freedom. And of course, we show this to pastors that join in the margin of meaning towards coming to a church near you. You know, I love to see that. Now, these were not staged actors. These were not paid professionals. We couldn't pay anybody to do that. I couldn't pay you today to cut up your credit cards if you really wanted them. But once God gets a hold of your heart in the area of finances, once you believe in Psalms 81, verse 10, open wide your mouth and I will fill it. Once we fully embrace what God has for us, it's not what he wants from us, it's what he wants for us. That's why there are things that don't change, can't change. He loves us so much, we got to believe him. But there are now things that change, not because I don't love you, but because I love you so much. I don't want you to have the pressures and the pains that we know it's going on all around us. He also wants us to save. He wants us to save. Save? Well, that sounds like it's a little selfish. I mean, I would think he'd want us just to give everything, live under, you know, I-95. Well, actually, we have, in fact, interviewed homeless guys. And we said, are you homeless because you gave all your money away? And you know what they say? No. I lost my job, bad karma, stuff like that. But they never say they gave it all away. But deep down inside, don't we say that? If I give too much, I'll be just like them. But God says, wait a second, let me tell you what more of my word says. My word says I want you to save. I want you to save? Yes. You see, in the house of the wise. Now, this is where we, you know, we want to be in that camp there. We want to be mixed around with the wise people, right? Wisdom, Solomon, that's a cool camp to be in. In the house of the wise, there are stores of choice food and oil. But, and you know, isn't Proverbs and Solomon. So he loves to tell you, but if you don't want to be wise, but in the house of the fool, why do you always have to contrast? You know, here I am over here thinking I'm pretty good, but in the house of the fool, he consumes all he has. In the house of the fool, there's nothing. God wants us to save. But you see, there's a disconnect in the United States of America right now. The great country, we are attracting people with our methods, the American dream. More people from other countries want the Western idea in finances, don't they? They want to come here, and the first thing we tell them to do is get good credit. And then we'll tell you where a good church is. But the first step is good credit. Am I right? Because, hey, without good credit, I mean, we worship one God here. It's the credit God. We don't worship the Almighty God, and we got to upgrade that God. We got to say, no, it's not the credit God. It's the Almighty God, and we do it the right way. Our credit score is going to go up. But here's how we disconnected. Back in 1932, 1933, nobody in this room was back there. But we know stories our grandparents tell us. They lived during the Depression. They walked uphill both ways in the snow without shoes. You remember that one? I often wonder, why you got to walk up both? I wouldn't go to school. I'd skip, you know? I don't know, but that was just me. I was a bad kid. But they had negative savings back then. But as times got better, oh, and 25% of the people were out of work during the Great Depression, 25%. Today, it's about 3.5%, 4%. So we're talking big difference. We're talking much more affluent today, even with this whole real estate problem. Savings in 1992 was up to 7.7%. These last 3 years, it has been under 1%. Under 1%, and this year, we could go all the way. We could go negative. Negative savings. Now, it's hard for you to understand what negative savings is, isn't it? Here, let me illustrate it. Take the purse or the wallet of the person sitting next to you. Go ahead and do it now. No, you don't have to. That's negative savings. Isn't that awful? Yeah, well, we're going to be there. We're going to be there. Okay, my favorite illustration is this one in Proverbs 6:6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. I didn't know what sluggard meant. It must not have been that bad until I went to Google and then Wikipedia and said, what does sluggard mean? It means lazy bones. Go to this ant, you lazy bones. That ant has no ruler, no overseer, you know, no commander, no manager, but it stores up food, right, in the summer for the winter. Now, I didn't understand this concept until we had my son, Ethan. Because he's like his dad. Remember the high chairs for the kids? And you put them out there and there's like this feeding trough underneath it. So if any food falls, you kind of just pour it back onto his tray. It's new. You guys didn't have that back in the day. But now we have this newfangled stuff. So he's like his dad. He'd get half in his mouth, half over in his head. And the ants would see that. And you know what? As soon as my son got out there, the ants would be straight line. You know, all the way across. They'd pick up the peanut butter and jelly sandwich. They never eat. Ants never eat. I'm concerned about them because they don't eat. This is what they do. Back in, I didn't know where the holes were. I would follow the ants. Like following the money, I followed the ants. There was more moldy peanut butter and jelly sandwiches behind my walls than my son has ever eaten. I'm telling you right now. And I thought, my goodness, Lord, you are so good to me. I couldn't get rid of the ants. We tried Orkin. We tried tenting the plates, right? We tried Country Fresh Raid. Now, that was great. Country Fresh Raid smells like potpourri. So people would come over, you know, people from church, and go, what is that? Do you have potpourri? We go, no, it's Country Fresh Raid. You like it? No. We couldn't get rid of those ants. Finally, we sold the house. And now I can, now it was the last house to sell in Broward County. It was 2 years ago. It's been a tough market. But I learned that God wants us to go to the ants. Go to the ants and learn from them. And then I had a dream one night that they had the big one. They had Ethan. We got the big one. Go, 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 go. Get him in there. That was when we sold the place. But I realized that God's word was not to hurt me, was not to take something away. It was to help me. But here's the disconnect. We don't understand it. We graduate from high school and grandma gives us a $1,000 gift, right? And we take the $1,000 gift and say we're prudent, and instead of spending it like I would, we put it in the bank. We made 3%. Well, at the age 65, we'd have $4,000. Well, if we made 6% on that $1,000, we'd have $16,000. Well, hey, if you could do that, it's great, right? Well, what if you could make 12%? That's $256,000. And what if you could make 18% on that $1,000? Well, you might say to yourself, there's no way we could make 18%. Well, you're right. No way you can, but would you be willing to pay somebody 18%, 12%, 6%? The mortgage company gets 6. The car loans get 12. And guess who gets 18%? The credit cards. You see, we're never going to make 18%, you might say to yourself. You might be in the finance business. But the credit card company says, you might never make it, but you don't mind paying us. When I saw that statistic, I thought, no way am I going to participate in that. They don't even send me a thank you card. They don't even send me a Christmas card with a gift basket at the end of the year. I'm not going to do it. And that's what God wants us to do. That's why his word is not to hurt us, not to take away from us, but to help us. And the third point today, God wants us to live simply. God wants us, what does that mean? Well, the only way we can make this happen is if we say, God, you are sufficient. When I hear a miracle like this, I go, God, I need to be more in tune with where you want me to be and where you want me to go and what you want me to say about how great you are. And that's what living simply looks like. But things have to change. Well, first, we have to see where the money is going. Well, we don't have to look far to see that we are spending more on cars than anything else in this country. $600 billion is going out the door every year on cars. And you say, well, we got to get to work. Well, let's compare that to Christmas gifts. Christmas gifts, $250 billion. And did you know, you remember the sermon I told you about this Christmas gifts for our dogs? We're going to average, the average pet owner is going to spend $100 per year on Fido. You imagine if Fido didn't get have a little gift under the tree? You would have to spend more than $100 for therapy for Fido, wouldn't you? You have to take your little doggy to the shrink because he didn't get a Christmas. It's crazy. Pet care, $40.8 billion. Actually, that's a little low. Now, take a look at the bottom one. The bottom one is probably something that's insignificant. But not to you, because you sent $13,000 last year over to missions. But the missionaries get $39 million from giving families. And you go, wow, that's great. These giving families are wonderful. Well, I don't know. That's kind of, it's good. The $39 million is good. But I see a disconnect. Do you see a disconnect someplace? My priority is not on getting the gospel, not on getting this testimony out that how great our God is. The goal here is how great our cars are. And so living simply says, I'm not going to do it any longer. Living simply says, I'm going to live original. I'm going to live a life that is set apart because God has called me not to blend in. Romans 12:2 says, look, I want you to be not blending in with the rest of the world. I want you to be transformed. I want your hearts to be pure, set apart. I want you to live lives that are original. And that's why we've come up with the 417 challenge. Now, I mentioned last week you get credit cards and cash this week. Well, we're going to have somebody passing out the credit cards now. Go ahead. Now, the credit cards are this. Credit cards say, next time you use your credit card, consider using this card. This is the Eternal Rewards card. This credit card is way different than any other credit card you have in your wallet. This has a rewards program built in that it's 100-fold on every purchase. Unlike American Express, where you get $1 back, and some, what is it, the Discover card, you get $2, some you get $3. This one, you get 100 points for every dollar you spend. But it's not at the grocery store. It's not at the mall. It's in investing in people's lives. It's living with eternity in view. Well, the 417 challenge says this: no longer am I going to live the way that I've been living. And you might say, I want to give this card to somebody in my family. I want to give this card to one of my coworkers. Because I can tell you this, that I am home. I am home today with you. And you guys get this, but most of the world do not. So now, God wants to send you out as his missionaries. Because this is what God has done. He wants us to be rich. Rich in good works. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 through 19. He wants us to have the good life. You know what the good life is? The life that is truly life. Investing in people's lives. That's what he considers the good life. And he wants us to be a missionary. A missionary, he wants you to leave your jobs right now. He wants you to be a missionary where he has sent you, whatever that job is. Nurse manager, you are the nurse manager, the chief head nurse manager for the great physician. And I met a hospice nurse. As I was counseling her, she said, you know what? I see people right before they die. And I said, what an incredible honor. You must be able to tell them about Jesus Christ. And she said, no, my job won't let me. So I just smile. Well, I think there's courageous Christians here that say, you know what? If I lost my job by telling somebody right before they died about Jesus Christ, well, that'd be awesome. Because there's people who've gone before us who have uttered their last breath saying how great their God is. Think about my grandfather. He just passed away a couple weeks ago. He's in glory. He's one of those great clouds of witnesses because what he did was his last moments in the hospital, he was still praising God for such a wonderful wife. And you know, that was an example to the other people there because you know what? Your last days of life, you're going, help me. You know, no, not him. And you know what? We too, no matter what our last day is, we can live this whole 417 challenge. Now we're going to have a second offering. I hope you don't mind. You know, some churches I go to, we have 2, 3, 4 offerings. This offering is going to be a love offering. But I don't want you to open your wallets or your checkbooks. See, this offering is you're going to take something out. What? We're going to send around the plates, and you're going to take an envelope out, and it's going to have money in it. Now, aren't you glad you came? You should have invited a friend now. You thought I thought I was kidding last week. Somebody's going like this. I wasn't going to come. Yeah, you're going to take money out. And this is the challenge. This is the 417 challenge. There's actual money in there. Not Monopoly money. What I want you to do, and we didn't tell the media this, but we're going to record this. I'm going to tell one of my friends who works for the Herald today. I didn't want any kind of pomp and circumstance. We wanted to capture it ourselves. But this is what I would love to see. You remember last week, I said, on Easter Sunday, I want people to be here to hear the message. And we're going to have to prepare our hearts and prepare where we're going to go with the message to tell them about Easter Sunday. So wherever God's going to lead you to that person, invest in that person's life. And today, now you have something tangible. Not only the encouraging words from last week of the things that don't change, but today the things that must change. We're going to invest this into somebody's life. So you're going to come back next week, and I want a couple testimonies of, you never believe what happened. I went up to somebody I've been talking to for a while, and I said, here you go. I know you're struggling. Here's some money. And they're going to say, what? You're kidding. No. I just want to let you know I love you. And if you want to come out on Easter Sunday, you know, that's when everybody comes to church. I'm going to introduce you to something so incredible at Pioneer Community that you're going to see this is unlike any other church. Oh yeah, we get credit cards and cash at this church. I mean, it's crazy. But not only that, you're going to feel the Spirit. You're going to feel the Holy Spirit, and you're going to be introduced to our best friend, Jesus Christ. And there might be somebody here today that stumbled in and thought this was a financial event and didn't mind coming to a church on Sunday, and you might not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Today, he wants to let you know that you have a debt that you can't pay. You have a credit card that you can't pay, and he wants to pay it for you. And he already did. With his blood. But you have to accept him as your Savior. If there's one person here that misses that, who is just thinking about the credit cards and cash, please understand this. Your life, it will end someday. Maybe God will give you a second chance like this sister. But someday our lives will end and you'll be face to face with him. And he'll ask you this question. Did you believe in my son? Did you accept him as your Savior? And you'll have to answer. And the rest of us, you know what he's going to say to us? What did you do with my son? Did you hide him? Or did you proclaim how great he is and how miraculous he is and how pioneer you live on the edge of the miraculous here? Will you pray with me? Dear Holy Father, thank you for being in this house. Lord, thank you for the incredible honor of allowing me, Lord, to bring your message of hope. Hope to people who are kindred. People who understand, Lord, how great it is to know you, that are living on the edge of the miraculous, that are sacrificing, Lord, week in and week out. And Lord, they would not even consider it a sacrifice. Lord, thank you. Lord, I pray, Lord, now that you would empower this congregation. You would give them the authority, Lord, that you promised, Lord, when you left this planet, Lord, your final verses. And Lord, you said, all power is given to me, Lord. Now go and make disciples. Lord, I pray, Lord, now that, Lord, we appropriate that incredible power and we go out this week and the following week and we say, Lord, lead me to somebody you want me to invest my life in so I can bring them back, Lord, on Easter Sunday, and not just for a one-time event, not even for a one-time life change event, Lord, so that, Lord, they will hear your message, they will accept you as their Savior, and they will find a home. Oh, Lord, we need fellowship so badly, Lord. These weeks that we live in are tough. Lord, the economy stinks. And Lord, you are calling us to be set apart. Lord, thank you for the courageous Christians that are here, that are proclaiming your name. Lord, may they now know that they can just with great fervor, great energy, Lord, run the race that you have before them because they are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, just like Jake Mollenkamp and just like so many others, Lord, who have gone before us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.